it's time to talk a little Boston sports. And to do that, we turn to our friend, a best-selling author and now member of the introductory class of the Downtown Hall of Fame. He's the pride of Morris High School, Chad Finn. Hello, Chad.
I don't know about pride, Rich. That's exciting, the Hall of Fame, though. People are really excited about that. I heard all about it, which is really cool.
That's awesome. Well, we're so thrilled that people invested and voted, and I thought chose very, very wisely. Everybody on the ballot was incredibly well qualified and deserving. But when I see people in there like you and Bob Ryan and Heather Cox Richardson and Ken Burns and some of our entertainment friends, it's a heck of a class. But we love all our guests, but a special salute to you and those of you in that first class. Now the big question is this: Bob Ryan said he would do it if we send you temporary. It's temporary now. A downtown temporary tattoo. Will you sport that for a while?
A temporary tattoo. I'll go to Lorchard Beach and get a real one for you.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer right there. That's what we like.
Whatever the team needs.
That's awesome. We appreciate that. I keep forgetting. Don't do it on the air because, fans will show up like crazy, but I've got to get a mailing address so I can send my copy of your book down and get that signed by you. Probably will cost me more now that you are a Hall of Famer.
Yes, yeah. Well, you want a Hall of Fame inscription on that. That's an extra $20. But, send that down and just send it to me, and I'll send it back. I have a little budget for return postage through the globe. So people have the book and want to send it to me, shoot me a message or send me an email, and I'll send it right back to you without you having to send me a giant envelope or anything like that.
That sounds great. Well, let's begin with the Celtics. I wasn't sure after game 5. I still wasn't sure after game 6 because this team has been so, I'll say it, frustrating at times. But, man, what a performance for the ages by the whole team, but especially Jason Tatum.
Especially Jason Tatum. It was pretty amazing. I don't think I've ever seen a player turn it around in a game the way he did in game 6, especially so deep into a game where it was just total misery for three quarters, at least three plus quarters. And then, on top of the struggles he had in the first quarter over and over again in that series, and then just for all of a sudden got 4 3-pointers in the last 4 minutes and puts the Sixers away in game 6 and sets up game 7. And then game 7, it just continues, 67 points over his final 5 quarters in that series. That's remarkable. And the thing, Rich, I was asked to do today was kind of put it in perspective compared to other things that have happened in Celtics history. And it's right up there with anything. I mean, Larry Bird obviously had some extraordinary games, and it reminded me a little of his 60-point game in March 1985, and Paul Pierce's 41 in Game 7 in 08 against LeBron, and things like that. But this stands with anything, which is just incredible considering what we thought of Jason Tatum halfway through Game 6. So, what a turnaround.
And obviously he was the star of the game, but there were so many contributors. Al Horford's defense was a big part of that win.
Yeah, you think back to the Atlanta series where that series probably went longer than it should, and one of the things the Celtics had trouble with was Atlanta kept switching, getting switches, so Horford was on Trae Young, and Trae Young was just a big guy guarding Trae Young isn't going to work out for the big guy very well. And it looks like Al had slowed down a little bit this year defensively over the course of the season. And he struggles in that first playoff series defensively in some bad matchups, and you weren't quite sure how he was gonna fare against Embiid. And really, over the last couple of games of the series, he just wore him out. I think Embiid was 4 for 17. 4 for 16 shooting against him yesterday when Al was the primary defender, and that's just incredible for a guy who's almost 37 years old. He'll be 37 in June. He's playing against just a 7'3" reigning MVP monster of an offensive player, and he locked him down in the biggest game of the season. It's not the first time we've seen Al Horford do that yet. do that in his career with the Celtics, but might be the most impressive defensive performance he's ever had.
What do you think it means for Doc Rivers? Obviously, this is it's become a bit of a pattern for Doc here. Could this be the end in Philly?
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. I never thought he was totally Daryl Morey's type of coach anyway. Not that analytically minded, more kind of old school, ex-player, publicly critical of the players, that sort of thing. I don't know if it was ever the ideal fit, but obviously Doc's accomplished some things, nothing greater than what he did with the Celtics in 2008. He's also got a lot of marks against him, and I kind of felt Rich yesterday as the game was getting out of hand and he's doing his sideline interview. I was like, oh yeah, Doc did a lot of TV. Maybe this is a job interview for him to be on TNT or ESPN next year, because I think that's how it's really going to play out. He's going to end up probably losing this gig.
How do you think the Celtics will match up with Miami in this Eastern Conference final?
Well, it's going to be super annoying, right, no matter what.
Yes.
Miami is extremely well-coached team, weaselly team. I mean, Kyle Lowry makes Marcus Smart look like a saint on the court. They get the most out of everybody they have. They're wildly inconsistent, so it's kind of frustrating from that regard, where you think, all right, Kevin Love's not going to do anything this game, and then he'll go out and score 17 points on, you know, 8 of 12 shooting and then does nothing the next game. You know, Lowry's like that. They've got real good role players. Gabe Vincent's a guy who's really improved. Caleb Martin's become a dependable player for them, much more than he was last year. And Duncan Robinson's back in the mix. They seem to think they're going to get Tyler Hero back in the series. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for them. He's had his success against the Celtics, but I think one of the reasons they've been successful in his absence is they're a better defensive team without him. So there's pluses and minuses with every guy in that team. The Celtics have a much better roster, less experienced coach for sure. So we'll see how that goes. But I feel pretty good about it, even though we know it's going to be a super aggravating series for Celtics fans.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. For anybody who was watching the Red Sox, it was a pretty super aggravating weekend. What the heck happened to Kenley Jansen? He got that 400th save and said, no, that's it, I'm done.
401st is always the toughest. They said
that's what they say. Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Wilson Contreras got in his head the other night. Pretty clever of them to figure out a way to use the rules against Kenley, and he couldn't adjust. But I think he'll be fine. You know, his velocity was down in his last appearance. And the frustrating thing is that he blew games where the starters were really good. Salen and then James Paxton coming back and kind of looking a bit like John Lester out there, at least in that start. Yeah, disappointing to see it go that way, because Kenley Jansen was just winning over the fans, getting that 400 save, and such a good clubhouse guy, really likable personality, and all of a sudden he blows two, and it's like, oh, great, how are we going to fix this bullpen now? But I think he'll be fine.
Well, they did it by designated Ryan Brazier for assignment, and he's had some struggles recently, but I hope fans don't forget what a big part he was of that 2018 championship.
Yeah, get the bleep back in the box, Gary Sanchez. That's what he'll always be remembered for in the 2018 postseason. But, it's been terrible the last 2 years. I think he has the highest ERA of any pitcher in baseball over the last two seasons. And got lit up last night. They always kept him around because he had, like, his analytics tended to suggest that he had bad luck. You know, his fielding independent pitching, not to get too far in the weeds, is always much lower than his ERA. And he had velocity. He had a good slider. He didn't walk people. So there were a lot of things they liked about him. But all that has kind of collapsed on him a little bit. He walked guys last night. He's been wild this year. And, he had that great run in 18. And it was pretty good, actually, at the end of 21 when he finally came back, too. But these last 2 years, you could have released him from the roster at any point in time, and it would have made sense.
So you mentioned James Paxton. He looked very good the other night. Brian Baio looked tough last time out. All of a sudden, when Whitlock comes back, the Sox seem to have more starting pitchers than they need. Who goes to the bullpen?
Well, Pivetta shouldn't be in the rotation. I know he's stubborn about it, and he's with the media. He's probably the gruffest guy by far they have in that clubhouse. He's a little defensive when he was asked about the other night, but he's a below league average starting pitcher. If you want to say, well, he's a number five starter, Corey Kluber's kind of your number five starter. And we remember Pivetta being pretty good out of the bullpen late in the season and in the 2021 when they had that surprise great success. These guys shouldn't be in there. Hauk is, it has to be a relief pitcher. He's been very good the first time through the lineup, and it falls apart on him around the fourth inning the second time through the lineup. So as much success at times as he's had this year, he's not a starting pitcher for the long haul. He just he can't get guys out the second and third time that he sees them. I don't know if they get a read on that slider or what it is, but it's a pattern with him that just has never really changed. I like Whitlock as a starter. I'm convinced on that now. He just he was hurt last year. Didn't get off to a great start with it this year, but he has the three-pitch mix to be good. And as long as Sale stays healthy at the front of the rotation, I think this is going to end up being a pretty decent staff, even though they've had to work through a bunch of things and a bunch of guys sort of coming and going from the disabled list at the start of the year.
September 10th, going to be quite a day. Tom Brady returns. Does he announce that day or before that he's coming out of retirement and will finish his career with the Patriots?
I think they'll start Mac that game, but if it goes off the rails, Brady will come in. I mean, he is, what is he, 45 now? So you got to give him a little time to get warmed up. But it's going to be a really interesting few months for him, isn't it? I mean, you talk about him becoming part owner of the Raiders, possibly. Still got the TV thing looming in the future with Fox Sports, and I'm one of the people who thinks he is going to do it. I know there's skepticism from some other media reporters, but I think he ultimately does do that. And finally, he can be back in the good graces at Gillette Stadium, but he's not playing for another team. So hopefully you see him around more and more, because anytime Tom Brady's in Foxborough, you're reminded of some pretty great times.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here. Chad, thank you as always. I'll get that book to you, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
All right. I'll be down at the end of the pier getting that tattoo for you.
We look forward to it. Listen, put it in a place where you can post a picture of it.
It'll be on the gun show.
Yeah. Yep. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Chad.
All right. See ya.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown.